This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
A couple of armchair GMs who have yet to be wrong with any of their Timberwolves takes. Right. It's Flagrant Howls with Phil Mackey and Kyle Tighe.
Segment alert here as we kick off your Monday with some Timberwolves discussion, Kyle. The segment is called You've Been Clamped, starring Jaden McDaniels. Come on down, Steph Curry, the latest clamping last night. Trae Young last week, Julius Randle. Who's next? Who wants the clamps? I think we need some shirts. Who wants the clamps after the latest biggest win of the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves last night in Golden State?
I was actually impressed that the Wolves could win that game without Jaden McDaniels because he basically didn't play.
Like 9 minutes, right?
Yeah, that was...
And he got a stupid technical with, a minute to go.
I think anytime, Jaden has, we've discussed this for 6 months, that he has a tough whistle. And anytime he gets an offensive foul, it's like three fouls just because he's going to pick up four. I mean, he has to guard the best player. You just said it every night. So you're going to get, a tough whistle no matter what. But anytime he picks up an offensive one, it's like, dude, you can't do that. So yeah, he played all of 10 minutes last night. But then again, to your point, that last kind of possession, I tweeted it out too, but like people were like, you got to give Mike Conley his credit. He played great on ball defense in Jordan Poole, and he did. But that play wasn't designed for Jordan Poole. That play was designed to get the ball to Steph, and like he did against the Mavericks, Jaden's just like, you're just not going to get the ball. Like, good defenders in the NBA make stars take tough shots at end-of-game situations. Elite defenders just don't even let you have the ball, and Jaden's an elite defender. He's just like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to let Steph get the ball. So Mike Conley was amped. I don't know if you watched that replay where they throw it out of bounds with, 6 seconds left. Yes. Mike Conley drops a massive F-bomb as he's going back to the bench. So even the nicest guys in the world can swear and still be cool, which is good news for you and I. But impressive defense. They held the Warriors at home to under 100 points, I think, for the first time all season.
It was. Yep.
So I think you might have had that. So that's a pretty impressive stat for a team that is continuously figuring it out and continuously playing defense that we really haven't seen in a long, long time, maybe ever.
So besides the obvious, you are the number one Jaden McDaniels stan, I think, among Wolves Twitter and whatnot. What was your favorite part about that win last night?
Well, I mean, first of all, I didn't even really know that they played because about a week ago in the YouTube comments, everyone said the season was over. So I had actually forgotten that they played.
He's Kyle lashing out. I love it.
But I mean, the best part for me was, again, I have watched, as have so many people listening to this, you included, years and years and years of the Timberwolves just like showing up to a fight, like a boxing match, mm-hmm. and being everything about it. The color of the ropes, the lighting in the arena, everything was dictated by the other team. And last night, they just walked into what is New Oracle or the Chase Center against the defending champs who were without Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
I understand that, but they just dictated everything. They literally brought, their bully ball and just were like, we're going to dictate the pace. We're going to dictate the defense. So for them to do that was impressive. And then also, Karl-Anthony Towns has been back for two games and in both games has hit game-winning baskets. So yes. a tough couple of games for the haters on that path. But, I mean, there was just a complete game. And I had to listen to the Warriors broadcast because it was on NBA TV. And out here, like, the Wolves league pass was blacked out. So that was a tough pill for me to swallow because the Warriors broadcast is borderline horrendous. But they were just like, oh, this is the Wolves A game. And then you look at the Wolves box score and no one outside of Nas scored, like, over 15 points. Ant was bad. Jaden didn't play. And they still won.
Yeah,
so that's, I mean, again, that's...
Wait, so you're saying the Warriors broadcast said it was the Wolves A game?
Yeah, there's probably about
no,
a dozen...
No, it wasn't.
There's about a dozen people on the West Coast listening to this right now, and they all heard the same thing. Like, midway through the first half, they described it as, this is the Wolves A++ performance.
No, it's not.
And then I think Jace Frederick tweeted out at half that the Ant and Carl were combined like 4 for 18. and Jaden had played 4 minutes. So, you know, the Warriors have kind of figured it out and are, for the most part, kind of humming a little bit. I mean, obviously not last night, but other than without Wiggins, I mean, they went at Steph, they went at Clay, they went at Draymond. And again, for that final second play where Carl hits another three, just that's what this team has been missing. They just need other guys that can fill it up. But again, they win a game playing defense. And you've been on this, I think, a lot earlier than others. They have an identity. They're a defensive team. Defense travels. You can play defense every night. You might just not make shots on a Tuesday, but you can play good defense. Yes. And that's what they did last night.
Okay, I'm just, I can't believe the Warriors, I get it. Like, every broadcast tends to have some homer tendencies. Although Jim Pete's been, like, getting on some of these Wolves players. He got on Rudy last night.
Yeah, he's the best.
He got on Kat for a dumb foul at one point. He got on Jaden for the technical. So Jim Pete's on his A game. But if you watched that game last night and said, okay, Jaden McDaniels got into foul trouble, played 10 minutes. Karl Anthony Towns, even though he played 32 minutes, still very much on limited minutes and not his full version. Anthony Edwards even admitted after the game, he's like, week and a half, I'm out of shape. I didn't have my legs under me. I was tired. He was like, there's a few possessions where if you didn't know any better, you'd think, is he just like pouting and taking this possession off? No, he's tired. He's like got his... He's like grabbing jersey at his sides because he's, and maybe part of that's, you know, he had a bad ankle. He couldn't do cardio for like a week and a half or 2 weeks, but that was nowhere near the Wolves. There were some A-game things like Naz Reid playing really well and Kyle Anderson, but those things have been normal staples for the entire year. Just back to your point, which I love about the Wolves dictating the terms of the fight. I feel like the conversation going all the way back to the Rudy Gobert trade back in July has been, boy, when you make this trade, you're not going to be able to put two big guys on the court at the same time because small ball lineups are going to dictate to you when they go five wide, you're not going to be able to cover all that space. So what happens to your, you know, twin towers concept when the opposing team dictates small ball? Last night, the Wolves said, not only are we going to put Towns and Gobert on the court in the starting lineup and however many minutes they play together, we're going to give you like 25 minutes of Naz Reid as well. Not just isolated with four small guys, but Naz Reid with Kat, Naz Reid with Gobert, right? The Wolves put Naz Reid out there for 21 minutes, Towns 32, Gobert 34. So a combined 64, almost 90 minutes combined between their three tallest players. And then other lineups where they had like Jaden McDaniels and Kyle Anderson. I think there were some times where Anderson was the point guard, for instance, and they just went super big. They dictated to the Warriors and said, all right, there's going to be times when we have this, you know, the combinations of big lineups out there where you're going to get open looks because we can't cover the space. We're going to live with that because we're going to out-rebound you by 12. And you're only going to get 28 points in the paint instead of the 50 you were getting in the previous matchups with the Timberwolves. And so I kind of love that they just went in and said, screw it. We're gonna leverage and lean into our size in this game and not be afraid of you running around screens. We'll figure it out. And it worked last night. It worked probably better than any other team's approach against the Warriors all year in that arena because it's the first time, like you said, that they've been held under 100 points.
I'm stealing this from Off My Chest Pass on Twitter, Chloe. But I thought this was this is taking the defensive part and the identity thing you said and then adding in the Carl layer. But it's a perfect tweet, and I'm just so mad that I didn't have this myself. Having Carl Anthony Towns back feels like a bulletproof vest for the team. We're getting shot, and a kill shot still exists, but we can last so much longer in these rough games or survive even when Jaden and Ant are having rough nights. That's kind of it. Like, that's the whole beauty of adding a top 15, top 25 player to this whole thing is that you just have more protection of Ant was bad last night. I don't think Anthony Edwards, even at 21 yet, knows one of his bugaboos, and this isn't a criticism because I have the same bugaboo as a very soft human being at 34. He just doesn't know how to, like, handle injuries. He's just very tentative, and like you said, it looked like he was disengaged. I don't think that was it. I think he just doesn't really trust his ankle yet, and then somehow, some way, Anthony Edwards at 21 gets out of shape faster than anyone else I know by taking 2 days off from cardio.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah.
But I mean, you had 14 points last night from your combined Ant and Jaden, and it didn't matter because you just had so many other guys, including Carl, that could just make plays, play defense, And going back to kind of the body armor thing, like this team still has kill shots that they're giving up. Like there's still weaknesses in this roster and this rotation and all of this that, like, if you, you know, press all the right buttons, you're going to beat this team. This team is not, as fun as this has been, they're not favorites to win the West or to win the title. Yeah. But they just have more and more protection against, like, even last night there was a, I think it was in the third, but Carl just got isolated on Steph. And it reminded me of when Kevin Love got isolated on Steph in the finals. But Carl just held his own and was like, I'm going to force you off the three-point line. This was kind of their motto last night. It's like, we're going to force you off the three-point line, get into the mid-range. If you kill us in the mid-range, that's fine. That's our kill shot. Like, make Jordan Poole, make Clay, make Steph take, you know, 20-footers instead of a more comfortable 27-footer, 28-footer. Yes. So it was just, again, that was the coolest thing for me. I actually felt, I was texting a couple people last night, like, I didn't even feel that, like, excited about the win. It was more a sense of, like, pride that, like, you built this roster that has been criticized a lot by us as well and still has holes, but you went in there, and it's like Naz Reid said last week, you can just play big, but that doesn't mean anything. You actually have to exert your bigness, right? Like, size matters. And they out-rebounded a good Warriors team last night, 49-37. You never see the Wolves out-rebound a team that much, and it kind of directly led to winning the game. So I think they had 9 offensive rebounds. 4 of those were Rudy. Rudy Gobert last night was awesome. Like, I don't care. Yes, he had 10 and 18, but he just had so many Mackies again where it's like, oh, they get into the middle. Oh, nope, we're not even going to try to contest him. We're just going to kick it back out. So an impressive, impressive string of games now where it's like, okay, Carl's not killing them defensively, and offensively he's hitting big shots, and it's pick your poison now, right? Like,
yeah.
Ant sucked. Okay, Carl hits a game winner. Tonight against the Kings, if we don't know yet, I guess, if Carl and Ant will play, but if Carl's bad, maybe they get 30 from Ant. So if nothing else, Phil, we were right that this is the most talented roster in 34 years. Now, they might not get as far as the 2003-2004 Wolves or whatever that was led to the Western Conference Finals, but this team is so deep that it's like your two best young players didn't perform, but Naz Reid had 23. Kyle Anderson had 12, 10, 7, 5, and 1. Like, that's insane.
Kyle Anderson's like just a weird stat stuffer. Every night he's kind of flirting with a triple-double. He had 5 steals. Like, 4 steals in the last 10 or 12 minutes of the game last night, including the game-winning steal that led to the Karl Anthony Towns pull-up 3. And put a pin in the Cat thing because I want to come back to just a deeper Cat conversation. But I saw Bill Simmons tweet this after the game was over last night. And I feel like he kind of speaks for the national anti-Timberwolves crowd, right? He's like the lead megaphone, and Russillo's kind of right there at times. And I actually love consuming both those guys. I think they have entertaining shows, but they just, like, maybe some of it's Bill Simmons legitimately wanted the GM job 12 years ago when David Kahn got it. Yeah. And he's like, you hired David Kahn. Like, I could have done a better job. But he tweeted, just a horrendous Dubs loss. They're like the opposite of Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. Every time I'm in, they pull me back out. And I think what's happening here is, yes, like, I guess it was a bad Dubs loss in that they've only lost 7 home games all year. Mm-hmm. The Wolves are not this well-oiled machine. But his tweet kind of reads like, you can't possibly lose to that team, right? That was kind of the tone of, that's how I interpreted the tweet. And I think what you have here is a lot of people formed opinions about this team when the trade was made. You trade for Gobert. Oh my God, that's one of the biggest overpays, one of the dumbest trades in NBA history. Therefore, everything that happens going forward means they're incompetent boobs who are going to get smoked in games like this against Golden State. And if you didn't form that opinion last July, you certainly formed it when they got beat on New Year's Eve by the Pistons, right? And they fell like multiple games below 500. You either wrote this team off in July, or you wrote this team off in December, January, or any number of times where they've lost like 3 games in a row, you know, a bad home loss to the Wizards or something. And you've made no room for the fact that they actually have a lot of talent and they're just trying to get this thing to gel together. And when it does, they can literally beat any team in the NBA. So there's just, like, for you to think that that was a horrendous Dubs loss means that you're just sort of out of touch with the pieces that are in place here, right? Which, again, not to pick on Bill Simmons, but he literally didn't know who Jaden McDaniels was in July, right? And now you're watching Jaden McDaniels clamp Trae Young, Julius Randle, and Steph Curry from even getting shots off or even touching the ball. And now you kind of know, oh, there's some guys on this team that maybe aren't household names that are huge reasons for why the Wolves win games like they did last night. End rant. Sorry.
Nope. You brought it up. I've been waiting on this one for a little bit. So Wolves obviously had a couple days off over the weekend. It was beautiful to just watch. I know we have to do the standings update again soon, but every other team that the Wolves kind of needed to lose lost as the Wolves were stringing together these wins.
Dude, the Mavericks got smoked by the Hornets yesterday.
Yeah, that's also Patrick Beverley did the too small, the LeBron James highlight of maybe my entire life. But so I was binging. I needed something to watch over the weekend because there wasn't Wolves basketball. Have you watched Clarkson's Farm on Amazon Prime? Are you familiar with that? So there might be four people listening to this. If not, this is going to go terrible. But it's long story short, it's on Amazon Prime, and it's about, I think it's a famous journalist who basically like wants to become a farmer. He is like just going to become a farmer, and it takes you through his whole process, and he's never farmed before. And it goes through like the whole setup, and he has this land, and he gets these animals, and he gets this equipment, blah, 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 blah. And the reason I bring that up in this Timberwolves conversation is because he goes into this with like these massive expectations. Like year one, I'm a farmer. Here's my spreadsheets. Here's how much I'm going to make. 10,000 tons of potatoes, blah, 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 blah. And then they get in, I think it's in the UK, they get the most rain they've ever gotten in 100 years. And that affects his ability to farm. There's some farmers listening to this. I don't want to get too detailed. I'll sound like an idiot. But basically it's like, I went into this with these expectations. I'm going to be a farmer and I'm going to make all this money. I'm going to do this. I'm going to sell these sheep and I'm going to have these chickens. And then the rain prevented him from like half of his fields getting planted. And it kind of reminded me of the Timberwolves, right? Because it's like everyone just is like, oh, I remember we talked about them in July. They made the Rudy Gobert trade. They don't even have 50 wins. They suck. And it's like, okay, but their best player, according to everyone else, because he was voted third team All-NBA last year, missed 52 games. And when we see like, yeah, you know, the Clippers, but yeah, they've been without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, or this team, they've been out with, you know, Steph missed a bunch of games. It's just not the same energy when it comes to the Wolves. And it's like now, of course, it's very Minnesota Timberwolves that we're seeing the best version of this for all of, I guess, eight games. But you're starting to see like, oh, okay, maybe this roster does make a little more sense. And maybe despite Carl essentially losing one of his legs, according to him, for 3 or 4 months, it might have been the best thing that happened to them because Kyle Anderson figured out a new role.
Yes.
He figured out what point mean. You want to take this one? Like, they figured out that there's a point guard problem. No offense to D'Angelo Russell, but the Mike Conley thing just fits way better. Well, that dude is phenomenal.
Actually, let's real quick Mike Conley side street.
Yeah,
Couple things off last night's game. First of all, he knocked down 4 3-pointers in the first quarter just to like spark everything, right? And then that was kind of his offensive contribution for the game, and the game flowed in a different direction. But he's now shooting, I believe, 43% from downtown since joining the Wolves. He has effectively replaced D'Angelo Russell's three-point shooting, which was a huge concern because D'Lo was having a career shooting season, right? But the other thing he does is he doesn't need 15, 18, 20 shots to get his game going. He doesn't need to probe and dribble for a half hour every possession to get in the flow of things, right? So he can come in here, he can knock down some threes as needed, but he can also just like not shoot for the entire second half and focus on getting through screens and playing defense, which he's better at than D'Angelo Russell. He can play clamps defense on a possession on Jordan Poole, right? Like, and I think when Conley is not shooting in the second half because he's not like a shoot first point guard, it opens up for other guys who are hot that night. It just creates more flexibility. You're going to go into a game. Cat needs some shots. Ant needs some shots, and before it was, and D'Lo needs some shots, and then if there's some leftovers, somebody else can grab them, right? Now it's, okay, Cat needs some shots, Ant needs some shots, and any given night, there's like six other dudes, one of them might get hot. So last night, Naz Reid needs 17 shots.
Yep.
I might be wrong, but can you find a game where Towns, Edwards, and D'Angelo Russell combined to play 100 minutes and a fourth guy took 17 shots, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's probably not a common occurrence. So I love that, like, the third guy can be sort of, unless you have three legitimate rock star scorers, I don't want three guys who need shots if the third guy is just a D'Angelo Russell type player. So that's how I'm reconciled. Like, is D'Angelo a better, more talented player at this stage than Mike Conley? Probably, yes. But this is illustrating last night. Great example, right? Like the Warriors' entire offense is just Draymond Green doing like dribble handoffs and setting screens, and then Klay coming off a curl and Steph coming off like and usually like they get daylight off those screens and hit wide open threes. And last night, it's not going to happen every time because the Warriors are going to still be the Warriors and get their shots off. But like Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley are great at fighting through screens and staying on, getting a hand in the face. D'Angelo Russell was easy to sort of swallow up, like not the most quick, nimble defender. So I don't know, like, have they exploded since the trade? Not necessarily, but I just like the more I see, man, I love the Mike Conley fit. And last night was another example.
And again, you and I are not necessarily being even that critical of D'Angelo Russell, because again, he's still probably a better shooter, better playmaker, all that stuff, younger. But when the Wolves lose three games in a row, everyone tells me the season's over and they suck because they're playing the results. So if we're going to keep that same energy, D'Angelo Russell's not playing and has a history of taking a little longer on injuries. You know, this hamstring thing, hamstrings are a tough one, but he hasn't been able to be there for the Lakers.
Yep.
And Mike Conley had that ankle sprain against the Knicks and stayed in the game. Hopefully was tested for a concussion last night. I don't remember that screen. He got absolutely nuked on this screen where he fell down. And then the Warriors kind of went on a run. He was like shaking out the cobwebs. And then he did this thing again where it's like, okay, my team's kind of falling apart. Give me the ball. I have to get to the free throw line. The Warriors broadcast even mentioned it. Like, wow, what a nice thing for this young team to have this veteran point guard that's like, okay, the crowd's getting a little loud here. Let me slow things down by just getting to the foul line. So he's been great. Kyle Anderson talked about it last night too, that Mike's like the fastest guy on the team, which I don't think can be accurate at 35, but he sprints through those screens. And then we should probably say this now, but congratulations to Chris Finch. I think it was his 100th win last night.
It was.
And the Wolves posted a video after the game congratulating Finch and giving him the game ball. But right before they did that, Finch made this comment about nothing we do individually now will adjust our stat line. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, but obviously I said earlier last week, Mike Conley was on Russillo's podcast and Mike Conley said the same damn thing, but he was like, I'm just trying to teach the guys right now that this late into the season, you can have a big night, you know, scoring, rebounding, whatever. It's not going to affect your averages.
Correct.
We're too deep into the large sample size for once. It's like, it's all about team. No individual performance matters. Like, let's just do what's best for the team. And Finch was kind of echoing that last night. And then to put this all encapsulated, Finch post-game presser, I think this was in John Krasinski's Athletic piece today. Finch went out of his way to just say a comment that I don't even know if it was directed by a question, but he was like, yeah, we no longer have to hide anyone on defense.
Interesting.
He's been waiting to drop that one for a while.
So, Andrew, and I'm oversimplifying this, but you got Mike Conley, adult in the room point guard with dozens of playoff games under his belt, right? Like fighting in these Western Conference playoffs for 12, 15 years, whatever it's been. He's going on podcasts talking about how you have to devote yourself to the team and nothing individual matters, all this stuff. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, you had reports that D'Lo was openly mocking and making fun of his teammates, Rudy Gobert, in the locker room and behind the scenes, creating a toxic environment. You know, again, that's probably an oversimplification. It's not that D'Lo wasn't ever a good teammate or didn't provide value. I'm not saying that. But that dynamic does matter. And we'll see. Like, at this point, the Wolves are still basically the same team record-wise, a game above 500 or 500 as they were for the trade. But the adult in the room presence is apparent. And I'm curious to see if it manifests in even more wins. On the Towns front, to go back to that, and then we'll do we'll do our Western Conference playoff picture update. I said this to you, I think, after the Hawks game, and I say it again after watching his second game back from injury. I don't see him getting... There was a couple little, like, you know, palms up, you know, ref calls, but not a whole lot. He wasn't pouting or stomping around. And even again, he hits the big shot at the end of the game, just like he did with the free throws against the Hawks, and they immediately pull him from the game because they don't want him on the court defensively with Gobert. And he's just like yucking it up and having a great time. This is a more joyful version of Towns the basketball player. I hope it continues. If he can just be this joyful unicorn who's not getting wrapped up in emotions and drama and woe is me, there's another level to his game that hasn't been unlocked yet. And there's another level to this team. But it all depends on him playing. playing with that sort of joyful, free of mindedness and having a higher level of emotional intelligence.
That that three he hit in transition after Kyle got the steal, like that, no other way to say it. That was cold-blooded. Because Kyle gets that steal and he dribbles down, but you know Kyle's not going to go to the rim, especially because Draymond's with him still. Yeah. We need to do like six podcasts on the last minute of the game in general, because I think the Wolves were trying to foul. Mike Conley was like,
which they shouldn't have been. I was yelling, don't foul. You got 4 second difference. Do not foul. Do not foul. They were trying to foul.
For all the times we criticize late game execution, it's like the Wolves last night might have gotten lucky, because it seemed like Mike Conley was trying to foul, even though, to your point, like they shouldn't have. There was a 4 second differential. They had a timeout left. But again, like Carl, just there's not a lot of guys on this roster that can just step into a three like that cold blooded. And then, you know, he said a lot of stuff about that injury and things he learned. And I know everyone likes to scoff, or a lot of people like to scoff at what Carl says, but maybe devil's advocate being naive, maybe he just did learn. Like, maybe he's like, I miss this game so much. I just want to, like, there's some NBA players that hit that three and then refuse to not be on the defensive possession the next thing. Like, so I know what you're saying, and you're not criticizing at all. It's just, he was totally cool being like, okay, I'll hit the three on offense and I'm totally happy subbing out. So we can get a better defender in there. And it's like, if all the stuff we were worried about adding Carl back in doesn't happen, like, I don't know, man. That's kind of scary. I was looking at, I think it's John Schumann. He does power rankings on NBA.com. And he had the Wolves up to 14th this week. But where was it? He was talking about the Wolves have now two wins against each of the top three teams in the West, and have a chance for a second against, obviously, the fourth-place Suns on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But this kind of goes back to what you kicked off a couple weeks ago. That's like, if this just all clicks and all the pessimism doesn't happen, it's a really tough team. tough out.
To your point, what were the things? Because there was some consternation, and I felt it myself, too, that, boy, you're going to plop Karl Anthony Towns back into this thing, and you could either be plopping in this all-world talent, and it goes to a new level, or the bad stuff that kind of permeates in, the stuff that you saw in three of those playoff games last year, that stuff could like throw off the dynamic. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. What are the things about him that you were the most nervous about incorporating? Like, we know the great, like, okay, if he comes in and he shoots threes and he's a 25 and 12 guy, like, we know the positives. For me, it all goes back to, like, I keep saying emotional intelligence. It's the ability to calm your mind when bad things are happening on a basketball court. Sometimes he just loses all control of that. And he just barrels in with offensive fouls, or he'll take a swipe at someone in the backcourt for no reason and get a dumb foul. And there's been a couple of those things. And then it's the reaction to that, or the game gets too emotional, and then he gets super emotional, and instead of thinking about the best play, he's just like trying to get a shot off, out of spite or something. Those things don't seem to be prevalent. And like you said, if the things we were sort of afraid of are not going to be there, if it's just going to be the best things about Karl Anthony Towns, it's kind of a blank canvas of what they could do here against some of these Western Conference playoff teams, right?
I'm building on what you just said and stealing this again from NBA.com, but the Wolves have won these last two games by a total of 4 points. These two games that Carl's played, they've won them by a total of 4 points, but they were a plus 20 in Towns' 58 total minutes. So again, they plopped in this all NBA center, and they're just really good when he's playing. You have it. It's again, small sample size. If you want to push against this, like, they've only had two games. He's only played, 58 total minutes. But in those 58 minutes, he's, like you said, not complaining. He's not doing kickouts, right? He's not Trae Young. He's not Luka Doncic. He's not doing all that extra stuff that it's just like kind of deteriorates his brand. He's just playing really good basketball, making his free throws. I mean, this is probably oversimplify this, but like the fact that he hit those two free throws against the Hawks should be like banner worthy, because this team sucks at free throws. Like they leave so much meat on the bone at the free throw line, but he was like, give me the ball. I want to make him. And then last night he hits that three. So I don't know if last night was the sequel to Wednesday's movie. The sequel is rarely better than the original, but last night was better than the original. And you just have so many options now that, again, this team has ways that you can crack the code. But for the first time, Phil, in the long as I can remember, they have an identity. They're dictating, you know, the terms of the agreement, and it's just a ton of fun to watch right now, especially when you're not even still fully healthy or fully right. Like, not everything's clicking, and you're holding, you know, the defending champs to under 100 for the first time all year.
Yeah, he's like a mentally sharper version of himself. It's almost like they took Karl Anthony Towns and sent him to MyDollKnives.com. And out came this professionally sharpened, you know, mentally strong version of himself. So that's right. My name is Phil, and I have recently suffered from dull knives. The embarrassment of walking around back in the Twin Cities here. People, hey, there's that Mackie guy with his dull knives squishing his tomatoes, unable to cut a carrot in half. What a loser that guy is. You know, not only is it embarrassing to have dull knives, but it just decreases your confidence in the kitchen. And that's why I'm thrilled to have discovered MyDollKnives.com, where the fine folks at Vivrant will send you a safe and professional mail kit. You can send your dull knives on a vacation, a little spring break, if you will, and Vivrant will mail them back to you all within just a few days, freshly sharpened. If you're in the Twin Cities, you can also stop into their store in Wayzata, drop your knives off. You could also get professional classes to help raise your game in the kitchen and check out some of their Japanese knife collections as well. MyDollKnives.com. That's MyDollKnives.com.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
It's time.
Let's do it.
For the Western Conference playoff picture update on Flagler and Howells. Dude, it is crazy. And I get sometimes what you and I will do is, like, if they have a back-to-back on a Sunday, Monday, we might push the early week podcast to a Tuesday. We're like, that was a huge win, so we got to jump on here on a Monday. So they're going to play. Sometimes you guys might be listening to this on Tuesday. They've already played the Kings. We're recording this before the Kings game. But as things stand right now on this Monday, here's how bonkers the Western Conference playoff picture is. We have four games separating the 4-seed Suns and the 12-seed Jazz. The Timberwolves are right in the middle as the 7-seed right now. A half game back of the Warriors for the 6, which would put them above the play-in line, but just a half game above the Pelicans for the 8 right now. So to put it into further context, the Wolves are a game and a half out of the 4-seed, and they will play the Suns here on Wednesday. But they are just 2 games up from the Mavericks, who are outside the play-in looking in right now. So, you know, they got to win some. They can't just, like, coast the rest of the way. They do have to win games to stay in the play-in. But at this point, I would be hunting Warriors, Clippers, Suns to get one of those 4, 5, or 6 seed spots. It's right there, dude. It is all right in front of you. If you can just, you don't have to win out, but can you split these next two between Sacramento and the Suns and then go make hay in your final handful of games? It's right there.
Cannot stress enough how many things went right for the Wolves over the weekend. Like, if you're not following the rest of the league, just like you said, the Mavs lost twice to the Hornets. The Lakers lost at home to the Bulls. They now play the Bulls again in Chicago. So when you say that, cause you're right, there's like what, 4 games separate 4 through 12, but now we're at a point where there's only like 7 games left. Yeah. So that's a pretty big number. I can't remember exactly what your picks were when we went through the schedule last week, but I had the Warriors game as a loss.
I had them splitting these 2 games. I can't remember. I think I said loss to the Warriors and then they beat the Kings.
Yeah. So my thought was to, cause I'm hunting the postseason, even though the smartest, less anxious human beings would be hunting a top 6 seed. Getting that win last night, to me, I mean, yeah, they're 2 games up now on the 11th place Mavs, but that's a pretty big number. And Luka might not play tonight in Indiana because of technical fouls. So you're getting to a point where I would say the Kings game tonight, I think if the Kings win on Monday, they clinch a playoff spot for the first time since Theodore Roosevelt was in office. So the Wolves might not have the vibes tonight, but then you go play the Suns on Wednesday, and now you have the tiebreaker over Golden State. I think you have the tiebreaker maybe over the Clippers. You still get the Pelicans at home to end the season. You could get the tiebreaker there. So I don't want to just rule it off and give excuses and say you can go lose these next two games. But I really thought if you can go 1-2 on this road trip and then take care of business down the road. I mean, they play the Spurs, who are dead. They play the Blazers now officially without Dame, who's been shut down. So it's incredible. I mean, really, truly, we know this, that there's still a very soft bottom built into this whole thing that could, you know, not even made of glass. It's made of paper mache. And they could, you go lose four straight, you're in trouble. But after what we saw against Golden State, after we saw against Atlanta, getting these guys back, that six seed is very, very, very much in play. And it should be the number one thing this team talks about, because you could be a really tough out and get into the play-in. And as we've learned now, these last month in March Madness, just takes one bad night and you're out. If they can get into the top six, they are going to be such an issue for other teams, because I don't think they'll have a lot of expectations, because as we've just talked about, everyone thinks they're underperforming when it's like they're really actually performing pretty well for what, you know, the weather has given their farm.
That was terrible. There you go. Wow. Bringing it back to the Amazon Prime show. Amazing. The callbacks on this show are just unprecedented. I'm looking through now too. I'm hunting for 4, 5, and 6 here. That's kind of where I'm at mentally right now. So I'm looking at Suns, Clippers, Warriors schedules, because you're going to need those teams to come down. Because you don't, I don't think you play anyone above you anymore, right? Yeah, Lakers are below you. Portland, Brooklyn, New Orleans right now is below you. So you don't have, well, I'm sorry, the Suns, and besides the, so you, the Kings, but they're out of your reach. You have one game left against one of the three teams you're chasing, and it's Phoenix. So you can directly impact that by beating Phoenix. Beyond that, you need these teams to lose against their schedule. So the Warriors, their remaining schedule is kind of mixed, but leaning a little toward tougher, I think. So desperate New Orleans team tomorrow night. San Antonio at home should be a 30-point win for them. At Denver, still fighting for the one seed. Oklahoma City desperately trying to get into the play-in. Sacramento fighting for seeding on the road, and then at Portland. So of the six games left for the Warriors, two are gimmies, four are against teams fighting for something. So that's interesting. And three are road games, which they're terrible on the road. The Clippers, seven games left, two at Memphis. They have a back-to-back at Memphis with a day built in between. And Memphis is, it's funny, Memphis is like better without Ja sometimes. He came off the bench, I think. He's back coming off the bench, right? Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think he'll probably be back in the starting lineup, so they'll have all their firepower again. But they're good. Yeah.
New Orleans, so they get the Bulls, and then Memphis, New Orleans, Lakers, Portland, Phoenix. So, again, a lot of teams fighting for playoff positioning. And then the Suns, they actually have eight games left. Utah, Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Denver, and then both LA teams. So only one game, if you think Utah's still fighting, which I think they are, even though they're not very good. Seven out of eight games for Phoenix against teams fighting for something. So, boy, if you can hang like four wins even, and just one of these teams falls, one of the three teams above you, that's your ticket. That's your ticket to missing the play-in in a good way.
If you have a short attention span like Phil and I do, the too long didn't read is that the Wolves have the easiest remaining schedule compared to the Clippers one, like you said, Bulls, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Lakers, Blazers, Suns. Without Paul George right now, like that could be 1-6. And the Clippers, for God's sakes, I mean, I don't, Kawhi Leonard left the game with like a face contusion. I don't know what that means, but them and the Suns have really tough stretches down the road. I think even the Lakers, who you didn't bring up, who are behind the Wolves, I think they play their next five games are on the road. So it's like, you know, there's these teams still have to play each other. The Wolves have a couple, you know, lesser teams built in there, like I said, with the Blazers or the Spurs or stuff. But again, you should be, you have treaded water now long enough that you might have treaded longer than others, as some other teams now are losing guys to injuries. You should be fully focused that, and I'm scared to say this because we've done it for 6 months, but if you want to finish in the top six, you can. It is right there for you. But you can't have a Pistons, you know, let down. You can't have one of these games. I mean, even the Hawks game, man, was like a different vibe if, you know, Carl misses those free throws. Like, you could have lost to the Hawks. You could have lost to the Knicks. So, but it all looked a lot different last night. Like, last night's game was just the first time you're like, this just looks like a pack of adults. Finch coached really well. Didn't even have their you know, sorry to the Warriors, but they didn't even have their A game and they still won it. So impressive stuff. And it's going to continue tonight against Sacramento. And then, like you said, you wrap up. I know you have another road game to kill the season, but that Suns game is really big too, because the Suns have faltered too, and they're going to be adding Kevin Durant in, and like, I'm sure it'll be great in the playoffs, but the short term, like, it might be kind of clunky.
Yes. And if you can get the sixth seed, it's likely you're going to face the Sacramento Kings in a 7-game series.
That would be fireworks.
And in the 3 games that you have faced them already this year, you have 2 wins in regulation and an overtime loss. So, and then whatever happens tonight.
Yeah, and I haven't looked at this, but I know De'Aaron Fox was left the game over the weekend with like a hamstring thing, so they might be without him. But again, the Wolves, for the better part of everything else, especially getting that win against Golden State, have survived all of the tough schedules now. Like things have lightened up for them a little bit. They have an easier road to the playoffs than other teams. It's meant nothing, right? This team has lost more games against bottom 5 teams than like any team in the league, but yeah. It's right there for them. They're healthy at the right time. Finch is coaching his ass off, I think. And it's, again, it'll be fun to kind of monitor this moving forward.
Yeah. So there is your Western Conference playoff picture update. I think that's a wrap on this episode of Flagrant House.
Do you want to do like an hour quick on Luka Garza? He dropped 47 in the G League.
How about that? 47 and 15?
The Timberwolves have like 4 of the best 20 centers in the NBA. And one of them has to just live in another city because there's no spot on the roster. It's kind of like those old Alabama football teams or whatever that have like their 4th string running back goes in like the first round of an NFL draft. Luka Garza, we're going to have to do a deep dive this summer on like, is he real or legit? But I watched that Iowa Wolves game and he is a combination of like Shaq and Hakeem and all these guys just crushing G League guys. So shout out to Luka Garza, who is just, again, the 4th best center on the Timberwolves and can't even put on a jersey. He has to wear street clothes.
Is he on the Mount Rushmore of greatest G League players of all time?
Oh, that would be fun. I'm going to write that. We're going to do that in like May.
You do the research on that. Greatest G League performers of all time.
He's let's make it happen. Impressive stuff. But if Carl doesn't play tonight, maybe Luka Garza gets some run. But man, this team, if nothing else, of all the frustration, their depth has just carried them again that like, hey, Kyle Anderson, we can't start you anymore, but you might be our best player tonight. Yeah. And good stuff. Dude. The vibes are back, baby. The season is not canceled.
It's a blast to watch. We'll hit you with another episode sometime later on this week, probably after the next 2 games. We'll hit you like maybe Thursday after the Wolves continue this winning streak with Karl Anthony Towns back, or not, or we'll just be melting down on Thursday because everything turns. So, all right, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast, please click subscribe and the like button on the Score North YouTube channel. And if you give us a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts, it helps spread the word about this community. We'll see you guys.